Have you ever been honored by a friend? You go to a restaurant with a group of your friends and you have a nice meal and everybody's having a good time. And then there's sort of, you notice a gathering of the waiters around you and they've got a bowl of ice cream or a small cake or maybe a cupcake with a candle in it and they light it up and it fizzes at you. And then they sing, "It's Your Birthday." And they sing, "Happy birthday to you," off-key, badly, some strange tune you've never heard of. They make a big scene, and you're embarrassed. Or how many of you parents have, remember when you were parents? Just checking. It's been a while, for all of us, for that matter. But remember when you were parents, and maybe you went to the grocery store, and the kid wanted sugar bombs. And you knew that sugar bombs weren't good for him because he was hyper already and sugar would only make it worse. So you told him he couldn't have his sugar bombs and he proceeds to lay down on the floor kicking and screaming and crying and all that kind of good stuff. Or maybe he sits in that seat on the cart where right in front of you and just screams in your face and everybody notices and he's making a great big scene. There can be good scenes as well. Martin Luther King Jr. and the protest marchers had attempted to make a scene in order to draw attention to the problems of racial equality. Even today, they just completed another walk from, what was it, Alabama to Selma or something like that, to Selma, Alabama, from Montgomery to Selma, in order to bring attention to voter irregularities. Protesters in Egypt kept making a scene even though every day they were out there in Tahrir Square, some of them were dying. And they did it in order to be able to win their independence from a dictator. Whistleblowers bring problems to the attention of the world in order to correct injustices or warn the public about potential hazardous situations. Have you heard about this Kony 2012 program? Anybody seen that on the television or on your internet? This guy Kony is out there in Uganda in Central Africa. And for the last 26 or so years, he has been kidnapping children, and turning the girls into sex slaves and turning the boys into warriors, handing them a Kalashnikov rifle and they go out and they do the fighting, they do the killing. They do the maiming for this man. He's wanted by the International Criminal Court. He's their number one wanted on the list of all the people that are wanted. He's number one. For 26 years, he's eluded the authorities. 26 years, he has destroyed lives and children. 26 years, he's stolen their childhood. And this man is trying to do something about it. For 8 years, he's been campaigning. He finally came up with a video, a 30-minute video about what was going on, and he's gotten it on the air and it's gone viral. Last time I heard, there were over 60 million hits. 60 million times this particular video has been shown about this man who is destroying children's lives. He's trying to make a scene. He's trying to make such a big scene that everybody is going to know about Kony, and they're going to finally be able to bring him to justice. In all of these people making scenes, in order to stand out from the crowd, making enough noise or doing something different that the people around, and these days the people everywhere with things going viral, can pay attention and see that this really matters. Well, the scripture lesson this morning from the book of John, Jesus is about making a scene. He's come into the temple during the holidays, the court of the Gentiles, as close as the Gentile can get to the worship center. And there he sees the animal sacrifice sellers and the money exchangers. They're all doing a very profitable and a very brisk business as agents of the high priest. They're making sure that your sacrifice is perfect. If you've got a white sheep and he's got a black piece of hair on him, black spot of hair, he's not perfect. And therefore you can't offer him a sacrifice to the Lord. So we'll take your sheep away from you, and you buy this sheep over here that is perfect at movie house markup prices, and you go and offer him as your sacrifice. The priests are using the desire of the people to worship God as a way to make money for themselves, to rip people off. And then Jesus does something foolish. Remember how Paul in the first lesson says we need to do something foolish? Well, Jesus does something foolish. He drove the animals and their keepers out of the temple, and he turns over the tables of the money changers. Can you see the coins clacking and bouncing off the stone walkway? How they scatter all over the place, making it impossible for the people to pick them up? Reminds me of several years ago when I lived in South Florida. There was a Brinks truck, and I don't remember exactly why, but it turned over in the middle of a overpass, and the back door popped open, and bags and bags and bags of nickels, of all things. They were transporting nickels. Bags of nickels fell out, split open, and scattered nickels all over the overpass, and they went down below, onto the ground below, and people were driving over them and trying to, people gathered all of a sudden. There was nickels everywhere, and you could grab yourself a whole bag if you wanted to. This was a very foolish thing to do for Jesus, because John puts this story at the beginning of his ministry. The other disciples, the other writers, put it at the end, the last week before he is killed. When he came into Jerusalem that last week, he had a lot of followers. He had a lot of people that believed in him. He had a lot of people that cared about him. He had a lot of people that defended him. He had a lot of people that would work for him and wanted to die for him. He had a lot of backup. But this first time in John, he comes into the temple this first time. He doesn't have any of that. He doesn't have anybody who will back him up. No crowd support, no public opinion to back him up. And yet he is not challenged legally by the Pharisees. All they want to know is by what authority he had to do this thing. Now that says to me that they knew what they were doing was wrong. And what they wanted to do was to limit the attention that was being drawn to what they were doing. Jesus did it because he felt passionately about what was happening. Was he angry? Perhaps anger at the people and what they were doing to God's house and to God's people. But I don't think he got angry. He didn't blow up and boil all over the place and say things that he didn't mean to say and he'll be sorry for later. Instead, with passion and justice and holy anger, he proceeds to make a scene and make God's viewpoint perfectly clear. He wants everybody to know exactly where God stands on this. And as disciples of Jesus Christ, as those who are learning from the Master, who learn what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, it's our job also to make God's will perfectly clear. Jesus was very good at doing this. He is very good at making clear God's viewpoint on love. The entire life and teaching of Jesus rests on the idea that God is a loving God. The parable of the prodigal son and the lost sheep and the lost coin, the good Samaritan, the laborers in the vineyard, all stress the love of God. The most distinctive feature of the Bible is its claim that love emanates first from God, that God loved us while we were yet sinners. And that's why he saved us. It's the most powerful influence in the world, and it reaches out to all the world, telling us to love our enemies, to love our neighbor, to love God, and to love ourselves. Other systems have based their strength on force, or education, or social conditioning, but none of them is bold enough to claim and demonstrate that love is the one power that can radically change the character of humanity. Not hate, not anger, not even fear can hold people for long. Pretty soon they're going to rebel. But love is the one way that we can change the world around us. Jesus was very clear on what he believed about hypocrisy also. He called the Pharisees hypocrites. They came to him saying that they knew that he was telling the truth and that he was a special person. And then they asked him some trick questions to be able to hold him, to attack him, to be able to get him to convict himself. He didn't call them hypocrites because they were not religious. They were. They prayed and they worshiped and they tithed and they kept the law. He called them hypocrites because they didn't live what they say they believe. They didn't put it into practice Monday through Friday. They did it only on Friday night and Saturday. He's also very clear about the love of systems. In Mark's gospel, one of the recurring themes is this love of systems, that those in charge are more concerned about the way we do things than how those systems affect people. The law said that you couldn't do any work on the Sabbath. Healing was work. Therefore, the woman bound over, bent by her body, could not be healed on the Sabbath, even though Jesus pointed out it's okay to unbind the cow and take him out to the where he can eat or where she can eat. Jesus is also very clear about our unresponsiveness to need. Luke in his gospel wants us to see the concern that Jesus had for the least and the last and the lost, for the outcasts of society. The rich man who ends up in Hades looking up at Lazarus in heaven, or the judge that finally agrees to hear the case of the old woman, or the farmer whose soul is required of him that night, all remind us of what we are to do with what we have been given. We're not to use it for ourselves, but for others. He's very clear, as this scripture today shows, about exploitation, the use of people as things, using their faith, their love, their willingness to forgive as a tool to manipulate them and get something for themselves. So how can we make God's viewpoint clear today? If we're going to be his disciples, what can we do? Well, the first thing we need to do is know God's word. We need to know who God is and what he's trying to say to us. If you ever work for a large company, one of the things that they do is some kind of orientation. They give you a manual, a book about the benefits and responsibilities, the guidelines and expectations and standard operating procedures. It tells you the philosophy of the company and where it wants to go and your part in getting it there. In the same way, we have to understand God's plan, knowing that what God is calling us to do and knowing the resources available to the job and the methods that we are to follow and not follow in order to get that job done. We make God's will perfectly clear by putting our bodies where our mouths are. Not just talk the talk, but walk the walk. Food pantry, tutoring, committees, Stephen ministry, choir, ushers, Sunday school teacher, youth worker, sharing your faith, praying. All of these and many, many more are ways that we put our bodies where our mouths are. And we actually live out what we say we believe. And we also do it by putting our money where our beliefs are. We make it crystal clear to a greedy and self-centered world what we believe and how important it is to us when we put ourselves on the line and use hard-earned cash to back it up. That's the only thing they understand, is how we use our money. We also have to be willing to be seen as foolish. This is what Paul was talking about. We need to be foolish, at least as far as the world is concerned, saying what we believe and believing what we say, loving regardless, even the unlovable, and forgiving somebody who has hurt you and meaning it. It means getting our priorities straight, deciding what is more important, love or obedience, grace or power, happiness or money, people or things, heaven or hell. And then following the path that we took, following it come hell or high water. If we're going to be disciples of Jesus Christ, if we're going to make God's will perfectly clear, sometimes it means we have to make a scene just like Jesus did. We're going to have to risk appearing foolish or angry just like Jesus did. Even taking the risk of offending powerful people just like Jesus did. But that is what it takes if we are to be followers of Jesus Christ and make God's viewpoint perfectly clear. Amen.